Well, welcome to this Manchester United podcast. We'll be talking about what's been a busy week of football here at Old Trafford, looking back at the Everton game and, of course, the Champions League tie with Glasgow Rangers, and looking ahead to what promises to be a mouth-watering clash with Liverpool. I'm MUTV's Mark Sullivan. With me, Gemma Thompson, Nick Kopak and Ben Hibbs from the club's website. Welcome to you all. Who we are missing today, Stuart Gardner. Yes, MUTV Stuart Gardner taking a day off to take his kids out to play. So we wish him all the best. See him again soon.
Is that gardener's leave?
It could be described as gardener's leave. Yeah, we'll give you that one, Nick. And with that, I'll come straight to you after that funny quip and talk about Everton. Everton, Nick, what happened? What happened there? We were cruising at 3-1 and then threw it all away.
Yeah, not much really went wrong until injury time. Obviously went a goal down. Everton started really well, deserved their goal lead, I think. We got a goal back very quickly through Darren Fletcher, and then second half, as you say, we were in control, cruising really. To get back to 3-1 after going 1-0 down shows character anyway, so I think you've got to look at that as a positive. But then it's just lapses of concentration. You don't expect Manchester United teams to lose them. Well, so we didn't lose a match, but lose
it
two
goals.
It
felt like a defeat.
It did feel like a defeat, yeah. You don't expect Manchester United teams to throw away leads like that in the last minute of the game.
Absolutely not.
It's usually us that score those late goals.
It's the Manchester United way, isn't it, Ben? We score the late goals, we salvage points at the death, we win games in injury time, not concede the way we did.
Yeah, and I think Nick was exactly right there. The key word is concentration. The manager's talked about that in his programme notes for Sunday's game against Liverpool. You know, you just got to keep concentrating. We know that in our games, teams can lose that bit of concentration towards the end of the game, and that's when we've got so many late victories or late goals. So we shouldn't really be suffering from that ourselves, because we know exactly what it takes to see games out.
Yeah, Gemma, it was a shame, really. Such a good performance up until that point, wasn't it? And 3 points looked like they were in the bag. It would have been a great result at Goodison.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just that thing of we've got to make sure we finish teams off. We obviously had the chance at Fulham, let that slip by, and you couldn't quite believe that we'd done it again on Saturday. But got to move on from it, and hopefully they've learnt the lessons now, having it happen twice.
I think moving on is the key point, isn't it? Because you can dwell on a result like that too much and it can affect future performances.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing about at United, there's always a big game, you know, next week, and doesn't get much bigger than what we've got coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be a perfect way, you know, to bounce back and get back on track in the league. But
one of the positives we can take out of the Everton game, the performance of Berbatov. I mean, Nick, he's been a superb start of the season, hasn't he?
He has. He's started extremely well. A lot of people, well, he's had a lot of doubters over the last 2 years. You can't get away from that. But the manager, tellingly, I think, has always backed him and said how confident he is that he is a Manchester United player, which is that thing that some players struggle to deal with. It's hard to put your finger on what it is, but the manager always talks about being a Manchester United player, and he's never had any doubts that Dimitar Berbatov is that sort of player. And I think he is really showing this season that he does have what it takes. And that's with Wayne Rooney on the periphery, perhaps, a little bit this season. Berbatov has really been the man who's stepped up and really, really shone.
Yeah, we needed someone to share the burden of goal scoring with Wazza, didn't we, Ben? Because, 34 goals for Wayne last season. Berbatov won't be happy with the fact that own goals scored more than him in our last campaign, but the way he started, he could finish as our top scorer.
Yeah, and I think it's just it's a confidence thing. He seems like a confidence player. It's interesting with the reaction to Berbatov in the last sort of couple of seasons. I think a lot of United fans really favour a player who sort of, you know, puts themselves about and goes into crunching challenges and gives everything for the team, and Berbatov's got that sort of demeanour where he's comes across sort of, you know, he's a stylish player and he comes across sort of quite relaxed, but he does care about United. You know, we've all sort of spoken to him and done interviews with him, and I think you can tell straight away in those interviews that he does care about United and he is sort of passionate about the team, but he conserves his energy to use it in the right moments when he can sort of come up with an incisive pass, or, you know, he's getting into the box to score a goal. And I think this season we're just seeing a little bit more confidence to his play.
Intelligent, graceful player, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting, actually, the other night when he wasn't playing against Rangers. I was working the game, and we had a lot of people on the Talking Reds message board saying, "Where's Berbatov? Well, why isn't he playing? We want to see him play." Like, it does seem people have sort of, you know, they're getting it now with him. He's showing this passion. You know, he's shouting at people on the pitch. He wants the ball, and he's making an impact. And I think that was quite telling the other night. That
it's interesting that you say that, because 18 months ago, even 12 months ago, the messages on that message board wouldn't have been saying, "Where is he?" They would be saying, "I'm glad he's not in the team."
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, as the guys have said, he's been a bit misunderstood in some ways, just his style of play. But he's just started the season on fire, and I hope he can keep it going.
We certainly missed him against Rangers, didn't we? We missed his guile, his creativity, his craft up there.
I think that's the key word, creativity. We needed someone to sort of, unlock that Rangers defence, and we just didn't have it. The players worked hard, you can't deny that, and we had a lot of possession, but it was just that final ball that was just missing, and we didn't really work the keeper, which was the most disappointing thing of the night. But again, learn from it, move on Sunday.
Frustrating 90 minutes, Nick, wasn't it? I mean, we rarely see games like that at Old Trafford when we can't make the breakthrough, even when teams do come and park the bus in front of their goal.
Yeah, I mean, at times it felt like Rangers had put an elephant in front of the goal, really. there was that much protection in front of Alan McGregor. But to be honest with you, at half-time, I was saying to people, I don't think United are doing an awful lot wrong here. They were playing patiently, they were keeping a lot of possession, which is what you have to do in those situations. I know fans get on the back of the team sometimes if there's not a goal in the first half, but I think usually that's what United teams do. They keep possession, they play it round, just probe for those little openings, and 9 times out of 10, it comes off, you'll get a goal. Tuesday night it didn't come off, and Rangers got away with a 0-0 draw. I don't know if it was a victory for attractive football. It certainly wasn't a victory for attractive football, but I think you do have to give credit to Rangers, because it takes an awful lot of concentration to defend like that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, the manager woke up to headlines he was expecting. He said in his post-match interview with us at MUTV that he was expecting to get criticism for his team selection. Mm. I mean, he made 10 changes to the team which started against Everton, yet everyone he brought in, bar Fabio and Chris Smalling, were full internationals.
Yeah, and I think he had to make changes, really, because I think trying to keep the same 11 players for 3 games in a week is difficult. And I'm not so sure that everyone will be complaining if we beat Liverpool on Sunday and the players are all looking fresh. Berbatov, for example, if he's looking sharp and hungry for it on Sunday, then people will be saying it was a masterstroke, or it was the right thing to do. But yeah, I think Rangers just came to defend and they put 10 players behind the ball, and they were just happy to see out a 0-0 draw. There's not a lot you can do about that. If you look at Arsenal the following night, we would all probably like to have seen a 6-0 rather than a 0-0. But
to be fair, Braga came out and tried to attack Arsenal, didn't they? Which was suicide.
That's naive, really, in Europe, those sort of tactics. It's difficult when they're different sort of opponents, and it would have been nice if we could have got that goal just to break them down, but sadly it wasn't to be.
Yeah, at least we did see the return of Rooney, of course, and of Rio Ferdinand. Now, his inclusion was a huge boost, wasn't it? Such a talented, such a superb defender. And getting him in the back line again will reassure that back guard and give more protection in front of Van der Sar.
Yeah, definitely. We've talked in the last couple of weeks about Rio and Nemanja reuniting that sort of partnership, and maybe we'll see that on Sunday.
Best centre-back partnership in world football?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Nick, Jeremy, I think we all pretty much agree.
When they're both fit, they've been playing together for a few games, definitely.
Yeah.
I have to say I was impressed with Chris Smalling.
I was very impressed with Smalling. There were one or two hurried clearances, but that's, if you're nitpicking, you'd say that, I think. Otherwise, he was very, very solid in the air. He dominated in the air, really. And he showed a lot of composure on the ground, too. Also, just the little things like long balls forward and a little glancing header to Rio to, you know, relieve the pressure.
Bringing the ball out of defence.
Yeah. Sometimes he looked a bit like Rio Ferdinand. I don't know whether that was because he had Rio playing alongside him, and Rio is someone who exudes calm, and I think if you're playing next to him, you're going to naturally feel more confident.
To be fair to Chris, probably a nice game for him to get involved in as a first start, playing Rangers, one man up front and barely even that one man at times.
Yeah, exactly. No, it wasn't. Rangers didn't come to do any sort of attacking. Although that said, they had more shots on goal than United on the evening, actually, which is a very quirky stat. But
I don't know whether that's because Rangers were accurate in their shooting or because we were wayward in ours. But
yeah, I think that's more the case. But
yeah, it was good to see Smalling at the back there, and a lot of the players who played, Gemma, needed a game. The likes of Fabio and Gibson in the midfield. You know, there's players who needed 90 minutes of football or at least a good run out.
Yeah, absolutely. It was that thing as well. We got the team sheet in the press box beforehand, and I was like, oh, a few changes, but actually it's still a really strong team.
Still should have won the match.
Wasn't concerned at all. We absolutely still should have won it. I think it's one of those things we've not got to panic. I was looking back, we actually only won one of our group games at home last season and still finished as group winners. You know, our away form was brilliant last season, but it's just one of those things. We couldn't have sort of thrown any more at them, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be okay.
Sad news, of course, on the night was the injury to Antonio Valencia. I mean, such a nice lad. We've all met him, been in his company, a charming, pleasant guy, and you don't wish a bad injury on any player. But Valencia is such a talent, and it'd be a big miss, wouldn't he?
He was really key to our play last season, and particularly to Rooney.
That combination was brilliant last season.
A number of assists, and you only thought that was going to get even stronger, that link-up. And you actually sort of, when you look to the flanks, and you see Nani on one side, you know, who's been resurgent the last few months, and Valencia on the other side, who's had a fantastic debut season. And it looked really potent, but it's just a shame that we've lost that from that side now. So,
Nick, obviously a blow to lose Antonio, similar injury to what Alan Smith suffered.
Yeah, back in February 2006 at Anfield. It took Alan about 7 to 8 months to recover from that one. So if we're looking at the same for Valencia, it's going to be about April or May. So unfortunately, it doesn't look like he'll play much of a further part of this season. But you know, it gives... You never want to look for positives in these sort of injury situations, but you know, we may see Nani now play more often on the right, which is a position I think Nani has said that he prefers to play on the right.
Yeah.
Certainly he's been tremendous on the left as well, and when he's on the left he can obviously cut inside and shoot at goal. But I think certainly as a traditional winger going past players, Nani operates better on the right, which means then on the left you've got Ryan Giggs, Jisung Park. Also, a couple of the younger lads like Gabriel Obertan and Bebe perhaps even may get his shot.
It'd be a good opportunity for someone to come in and try and establish themselves, Gemma, because it's a tough team to get into, isn't it, United? We've got such a good squad, such a big squad, full of quality all over, so someone now will step into the breach and take their chance.
Yeah, as is the case in football, when one comes out, there's one ready to come in. And like Nick was saying about Nani on the right, I think we saw at Goodison Park last weekend. His two fantastic crosses, you know, for Fletcher and Vidic's goals. And talking to MUTV's very own Paddy Creran for his United Review programme column on Sunday, he was just saying, I think this is a real chance for Nani to sort of step up and show to everyone what he can really do. And as Nick said, yeah, great opportunities for others. I wonder how much we might see Mr Giggs out on the left.
Yeah.
Not sure.
It depends. Maybe if we're going to go ahead with a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1, however you call it, with the form Berbatov's in, maybe Rooney will go back out on the left.
Yeah, I don't think I would like to see that, to be honest. I think he's been too good going through the middle, and I think even behind, you know, an out and out striker, I think you'd prefer him to be in those central areas where he can really sort of have an impact on the team. I mean, Valencia, you know, as much as Nani sort of moving over to the right is he's good there. That's his preferred position, I think, on the right hand side. You know, it does leave a bit of a gap in the, you know, on the left hand side, because Giggs has moved in centrally the last couple of seasons, and he's done well there. And he can't play, you know, he can't be bombing up and down the left wing every week. So it might take a player like Gabriel Obertan to come in and step up. And I like him as well. I think he's a good player. I think he's definitely
loads
got
of ability, hasn't he? Loads
he's
of
definitely
skill.
Got something. He's definitely a player, and it's just whether he can sort of apply that and, you know, take that on to playing at the highest level. But
yeah,
he's definitely got something about him. So maybe this could be an opportunity.
His injury came at a bad time, didn't it, pre-season? Because in the games he had featured in pre-season, he looked very lively and looked as though he was going to hit the ground running this season.
Yeah, but he's back now and playing the reserve, so.
Few games there, sharpening himself.
Yeah,
up.
I think so. Yeah, and hopefully he can then sort of step up to the first team and
Scunthorpe in the Carling Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of game we might see him in.
Yeah, I'd quite like to see Patrice Evra playing in the left side of midfield for a few matches. We've got players like Fabio or John O'Shea who can play at left back. Evra's we know all about his attacking threat, and obviously as a natural defender as well, he can offer some protection there too.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, actually. We could very well see Evra in left midfield. OK, what about elsewhere in the Champions League? Before we talk about Liverpool, let's round up some of the other games that went on. We mentioned the fact that our group's going to be, well, quite tough now. We've drawn to Rangers. We've got the Valencia away next. Now, Valencia went to Bursaspor, didn't they, and won 4-0, which has set down a marker in this group.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise, actually, because if only because Turkish travels have traditionally been very tough. Going away to Turkey, I mean, the atmospheres over there are incredible. Gemma was at Beşiktaş last season, and I think Gemma, you'd probably say, it was one of the most intimidating or loudest atmospheres you've ever been in.
Got a smile on your face.
It was absolutely incredible. I was watching the crowd for part of the match, to be honest, rather than the game.
To be honest, that was probably more enjoyable than the game at some point.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the best game, even though we did win thanks to a Scholesy winner. But really, really intimidating, and I'm actually going out to the Bursaspor game, so it'll be interesting to see how it compares. But
that's some travel over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Planes, trains, automobiles, do the lot.
Bit of a crazy one, but
ferry involved there as well?
Well, I've heard, but hopefully we find an easier route in. But yeah, I think that the Valencia game's key now. Nick's actually going out there to cover that for us, and yes, they've lost two of their best players, but you know, they've started off the group fantastically well, and I don't know, they'll be full of confidence.
I don't know if you saw the goals from that game, but their new Argentinian guy, Tino Costa, scored a couple of belters. He looks a good prospect.
I don't think that Turkish football was as strong last year as maybe it has been in previous years. I think there was definitely a dearth of quality in that league, so that may explain that result a little bit, but yeah, there's no doubt in that, you know, Valencia will still be tough, even though they've lost a couple of players.
And I don't think it's going to be easy going to Turkey either. I don't think we can say, well, Valencia went there and got four. We can chalk 3 points up now.
No.
No. But I don't think...
Because they'll be well up for the visit of United.
Yeah. I think we should still get a result out there. Mm. I think that those two games, back-to-back, I think they'll be key.
Away from in Europe.
Obviously, the draw against Rangers now, because you always bank on... But you bank on winning your three home games, but we've drawn now, so we need to win somewhere away. And yeah, you would have to say that you'd fancy us in Turkey out of all three. Yeah. And hopefully we win all our away games.
But hopefully we'll win the next one away in Valencia. Just elsewhere in Europe, great quote this is, I've got to bring this in. Spurs, obviously, in Europe in the Champions League for the first time. They drew 2-2 with Werder Bremen away. Now, former friend of MUTV, and particularly Mr. Stuart Gardner, Jens Lehmann, he once was described by Stuart, should be booked just for being Jens Lehmann. But he is now a TV pundit over in Germany. He described Tim Wieser, the Werder Bremen goalkeeper's positioning, as terrible for both goals that Spurs scored. Wieser responded by saying, Lehmann belongs in the Muppet Show, on the couch, or in a mental institution. Discuss.
Can you argue with him?
I'm suddenly a Tim Wieser fan.
When on the pitch, you know, I don't think any opposition fan liked Jens Lehmann.
No.
But I saw him, actually. He was a pundit. I think it was for the BBC. And he seemed like the nicest man in the world. And I couldn't believe it. That was like rubbing my eyes to see that, you know, if it was actually him.
But maybe it was his good twin. And the on-pitch Lehmann
possibly,
was his evil twin.
I always remember Jens Lehmann for his warm-ups. Because a lot of goalkeepers, they...
Really? You know,
well, it's not the main memory, but...
Can we add in that Nick is a former goalkeeper? Here as well?
Yeah, we'll
I do watch
that.
Goalkeepers a bit closer than some, but a lot of goalkeepers just sort of amble about a bit in the warm-up and do a few dives, but don't really test themselves. I mean, you don't want to be diving full length across your goal in the top corner just for a shot in the warm-up. But Lehmann did that sort of thing. He did somersaults, forward rolls, and he was just... crazy. He must have had to go and change his shirt before the match started because he was so sweaty.
They always say goalkeepers are crazy, aren't they? And Gemma, Nick. Ben, Nick, is he a mad one as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In the staff games, although he will tell you about the Man of the Match award he got for one of the games.
Yeah, we'll move on quickly. elsewhere, the wins for Real Madrid, Arsenal, Chelsea were pretty comfortable in Slovakia. It's going to be the usual teams in the shake-up, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Worryingly, I've got this feeling that Chelsea could be...
They desperately won a first European Cup.
Yeah, I just got a feeling that they'll be among the front runners this season. But yeah, that could have a knock-on effect in that if they concentrate on Europe, then that might open up something in the league.
Would you let Chelsea win Europe if we won the league?
Yeah, I'd
like that 19th title. Yeah. I just want to surpass Liverpool.
Definitely.
Really.
Yeah, I said last week, the league is above the Champions
League. That's the bread and butter. You want to win the league every season. Yeah. You want to be the best team in your country. Well, speaking of Liverpool, if we are to surpass them and get a 19th league title, it's all going to start this weekend by beating them here at Old Trafford, particularly, Gemma, after the two disappointing away draws. Nothing more than 3 points will do now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a game that the crowd always get up for. The players will be up for it more than ever after the kind of last few results we've had. And It would just be the perfect sort of tonic for us, really. And I think we owe them a few results after the results in the last few seasons. Not being great, I think it would really, really get us going.
And it kind of makes your hair stand on end, doesn't it? Just talking about Liverpool, thinking about the games here. They're just such a special occasion.
Yeah, you just want Sunday to come now, really. That said, there's a bit of dread as well when you go into those games, because the fear of losing is so much greater than usual.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
the rewards for winning
feels so much better, doesn't it? So that's what I love about football, is that you can have one emotion 1 second, and 2 minutes later you've got another. To be fair, I said that at Everton after we'd equalised at 1-1. In my report on the website, I was doing the live commentary, and I said, "Oh, I love football. 2 minutes ago I was down. We were 1-0 down at Everton. Now it's 1-1. We're going into half time, and things are looking good." But the same principle obviously also applied at the end of the final.
In reverse.
I wasn't feeling quite so much that I was in love with football at that point.
Well, we hope for plenty of drama on Sunday, Ben. Not drama in the way of Goodison. Yeah, positive drama. Do you think Liverpool come here thinking they can get a result? Because obviously there's a lot of change going on at Anfield. Roy Hodgson's come in, and I'm a bit disappointed about that because I find it hard to dislike Roy Hodgson as a manager. He seems like a top guy, really nice guy. They've kept the crux of their team in terms of Gerrard and Torres, Reina, Carragher. The spine of their team is very strong. It just seems a bit weak elsewhere.
Yeah, before I go on to that, I don't want any drama on Sunday.
Just straightforward.
It will be interesting actually on Sunday, because Benitez had a very distinct style of play in the way he sort of set his team up and sent them out to play. And very pragmatic, and he was all about the result, and very quite defensive. But I just wonder if Roy Hodgson going to 4-4-2 and maybe having a go a little bit more, whether that might sort of open the game up a little bit, might make it a bit more exciting, and that may suit United as well.
Maybe Liverpool will take a leaf out of Rangers' book and can't put everyone behind.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get better spectacle than that. But regardless, it's one of those games, regardless of what situation both teams is in. When we saw it through the 80s when Liverpool had the upper hand, throughout the 90s when we've dominated, the games can go either way on the day.
Yeah, it's cliche, isn't it? Form goes out the window. It is often the case in these games. I just think that they're just the ones that really excite everybody. For me, anyway. I know City are challenging now, but Liverpool's always the biggest game and always the one you look for. But I'd be interested to see what the manager's going to do with our team as well. Obviously, a lot was made of all the changes against Rangers. Is there going to be another hatful of changes this Sunday? You'd think the likes of Berbatov, Evra, Nani will all come back in. Van der Sar, obviously.
Scholesy, Vidic.
Scholesy, yeah.
There could be another 10 changes, couldn't there?
Yeah. But I don't know. At least those players have had a week off.
Yeah.
The ones he predicts will come back in. I'm feeling really confident about Sunday. I really am. I think Liverpool have been really flat this season. talking to Paddy Crowan for his column, and he was saying how he thinks they're already out of the title race. He thinks they're going to really struggle for fourth as well, which is quite nice to hear. I think we always quite like
good old Paddy. You can always rely on him for a quote. Well, it's interesting to see what team takes to the field. We'll try and bring in the team news first on MUTV on our Matchday Live programme. Join us for that. But whatever team takes to the field, it's going to be there's going to be passion, it's going to be an intensity about the game. But the likes of Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs, Dimitar Berbatov, all in good form, you hope that we can achieve that result we need.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's obviously what we're hoping to achieve on Sunday. But it will be interesting, I think, in the central areas of the team, I think, to try and work out who's going to play. You know, will Rio and Vidic team back up again? What's the manager going to do in the centre of midfield?
I mean, we expect probably Fletcher Scholes, but might he go with three in there?
Maybe goes with three, and I think that's... But then he would have to leave... Would he leave Dimitar Berbatov or Wayne Rooney out? You know, it'd be quite a brave decision
you
to...
You wouldn't want to make that decision at the moment.
No, I mean, no. I think Berbatov has to play.
Yeah.
The form
he's definitely,
hit.
Yeah.
So I think it's just then deciding whether you put Wayne alongside him. And I think for this game, you would have to, wouldn't you? So that would probably mean Scholes and Fletcher in the centre of the field.
I really like seeing Rooney in that withdrawn role on Tuesday night. I know we didn't create too many chances, but the first half especially, I think, was very encouraging, Rooney and Hernandez. Hernandez playing as the top striker and Rooney just in behind. It was really good to see Rooney in that more creative role, dropping off and coming deeper to find the ball and spraying passes out wide. I mean, obviously, he scored 34 goals last season as a traditional number nine centre-forward, but I really would like to see Rooney withdrawn a little bit this season. Whether that happens against Liverpool, I'm not sure, because as you say, the manager may well go with three in the centre midfield, so then you can only afford to play one up front, and Berbatov's the four man. He was left out on Tuesday, you have to assume, to keep him fresh for Liverpool.
There's no reason why you couldn't. You know, Berbatov and Rooney, they're both very intelligent players. There's no reason why they can't sort of swap in those roles, and one can drop deep sometimes and then switch at other times. So, you know, they're intelligent enough to do that, so that could lead to a more dynamic forward line.
Yeah, it's got lots of options, has the boss. One player who's probably going to play a role from the bench is Michael Owen. Got a great quote from him, actually. He's been stoking up the rivalry between United and Liverpool. Asked which Premier League fixture most excites him, he said the Manchester derby, and not this Liverpool-Manchester United North-West derby. Is that a bigger game now? Is City United bigger now than Liverpool-Manchester United?
More exciting last season.
I'm definitely. Not sure if Owen's slightly biased because of his own goal that he scored to settle the 4-3.
Still his favourite moment in a United shirt, and probably our favourite moment from the season, I think.
I think there was a few, really, against City last season. Three.
Certainly.
All last-minute winners.
City United matches now, just in the space of 12, 18 months, it's a dramatic rise in intensity, and we were sort of saying before about the pros and cons or the highs and lows, and losing against City now is a horrible thought, but beating them
worse than losing against Liverpool now.
Well, I think City, a few years ago when Chelsea burst onto the scene with all the money and they came along, and there was that feeling like they just think they're top dogs now. And you really didn't like that because they'd come in and almost bought their way to the top. And I think there's a bit of that with City too. You almost want them to have to earn their success a bit more.
Yeah.
So I do like beating City at the moment.
Yeah.
I think there was an element of when we played City, certainly in the last few years, there's an element of pity involved, isn't there? Really? And I think that's changed. I think Michael Owen's got a point. I think City will start challenging for the top honours sooner or later, because they've got that much money just to throw at it. So as soon as that happens, then they do become an even bigger rival, because at United it's all about winning trophies.
Yeah.
And that is why the rivalry with Liverpool is there, and obviously there's historic reasons for it and geographical and everything, but a lot of it is down to trophies won.
It's nice to be able to put City in their place last season. I think there was an element of that, wasn't they were making all the noise, our noisy neighbours, as of course the boss described them, and to beat them the way we did so dramatically three times out of the four occasions was extra special.
Yeah, and I don't think there's no better feeling in football, is there, than a last minute winner?
No.
And then
best feeling, absolutely.
For it to happen against your big rivals who've been making very loud noises you know, from across the city. And it's happened three times, not just once.
What we don't get to do here, though, unfortunately, is go into work the next day and boast to all our Manchester City supporting workmates. Because
I'd have to get on the phone to them, really.
Yeah.
And see them down the local or whatever. But, OK, let's wrap things up by just saying, you know, we wish United all the best. We wish Antonio Valencia, of course, a speedy recovery. All our thoughts are with Antonio. From Gemma, Nick, Ben and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.